So you are in the fuck around portion of the scientific method.
I'm fucking around and I'm finding out. Mother, I hate our daddy.
Die, daddy.
I want daddy to die.
Mother.
Where we penetrate one, we penetrate all. Wow.
Hey, Elena, I had sex with someone else, and it wasn't about you at all, because I'm over telling you I loved you 12 hours ago.
Oh, Stefan is mommy. Hi, I'm Morgan.
And I'm Elle.
And this is...
The Vampire
Journals. Episode 15 of Season 3, All My Children. All Esther's children.
All Esther's children. Yeah, Esther titled this one.
All My Children is a soap opera, right?
Yes. Yeah. 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 Does anyone know the premise of it?
I don't remember the full premise, but I remember when I was a preteen, my friend Samantha invited me over to her house, and she's like, let's watch my favorite soap opera, All My Children.
A preteen with a favorite soap opera is irregular, but I also love it.
That was also me, because there was one specifically that at the, there was like a, I think maybe when I was 10, I was at like a daycare where like, if the school day ended early, then we would get back to the place where the lady watched us. During
just in
the
time.
Little kids nap time.
Okay.
And she would be watching General Hospital.
Okay. That's a fun one.
And then sometimes, like very rarely, my mom would also have it on.
That's
the only one whose premise that I remember, and also because it's in the title.
For sure.
The closest I got to it in vibe at the time, because when I was a preteen, I watched Seventh Heaven.
Okay.
Yes.
And
Seventh Heaven is soap opera.
It got very similar vibes. Yeah. I think just the soap opera didn't have
just
the sitcom structure.
Yeah. I very, very briefly in middle school watched a bunch of a German soap opera called Verboten Liebe.
Oh my God.
Why?
Oh my
Why?
God.
Why?
Is that, okay, tell, I don't know German. Is that like
Forbidden
Sweet
Love?
Truth?
Oh, Forbidden
okay.
Love.
I didn't know it at all.
Verboten Liebe. I don't know. I think I wanted to like learn German for whatever reason. And I was like, oh, there's so much content in this.
That's amazing.
I'll just like have the subtitles on and slowly absorb it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Did you just Google the premise of All My Children?
Yeah. So I think it's actually a really, I have been hearing the name my whole life because my grandma was a big soap opera lady. Mm-hmm. And then for a long time, my mom like also watched them. So she would have anything to talk to my grandmother about. But like really hearing the phrase "all my children,"
it's like wow, what does it mean?
Yeah,
so it's about like three families and their various dramas.
I mean,
but applicable. The thing that I think is really funny is the head writer designed the show as a lighthearted soap opera that focused on social issues and young love.
Oh,
so you want to have a lighthearted soap opera, but they also did like a long HIV storyline and like a lot of stuff where I'm like
keep it light, keep it light.
yeah but we could watch on when this podcast is done
we can do an All My Children podcast.
Bridget,
after all 8 seasons
can you
8 seasons in a movie
just sort of tell the listeners about your deal today?
Oh boy, am I talking like really monotone?
You're not so slow. And then
I think you seem like 10% like chiller than usual.
Okay.
And you don't normally seem unchill, you know?
But also last episode we decided that we would do like sort of a Rashomon thing where we all talked about like, okay, so here was my POV of Bridget's experience. So now it's Bridget's turn.
Devastating to hear.
We can cut it out.
No, that's not necessary. If it's a good laugh, you gotta give it to the people.
The people are clamoring.
Yeah, all 50 of them can laugh at my misfortune. I accidentally roofied myself, which has happened twice before, where I thought I was exclusively taking my morning medicine to make me less nuts. And a little bit more focused. And then I also took the one that makes me a little sleepy and a nice baby. So here I am talking slow, thinking even slower.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. Making most of the jokes I've made today about 30 seconds after they were funny. So let's see how that translates to the podcast.
No, media. I mean, I think, I mean, we've been talking about this, of course, for a while, mm-hmm. but we have always, we've said that we wanted some more Rip Van Winkle energy.
Yeah, and I'm here to Bridge Van Winkle.
Bridge Van Winkle. And then, I mean, also, we did summon this by how many times we've gone,
yeah, Mr. Sandman showed up. Yeah.
And he brought me one of the weirdest dreams I've ever had.
Wait, really? Did you have a dream up there just now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you want to tell us about your weird
a little bit.
Day dream?
Because the dream was, like, I took a nap while they were recording the last episode, as I assume you know. I haven't listened to it yet. And so during the nap, I was, like, asleep just long enough to sort of, like, have one of those dreams that's also kind of reality mm-hmm. and, like, yes. makes you be, like, what bed am I in? Because I don't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have slept in that bed in this house to dog sit for Ponyo, but I've never, like, you know, not normally. And so in my dream, we were all late for my wedding. And for some reason, I was getting ready here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know how you will mm-hmm. in real life.
How I will in real life. And I was like, guys, I am so nervous for my wedding. I have to take a nap. And the hair and makeup people were like, you can't do that.
You can't do that. We literally need to do our jobs on you.
And like they just had. And they're like, if you lay down,
you will mess up our
good work. You'll ruin everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're going to look like a dumb, sleepy idiot at your wedding.
At your wedding, which is like maybe something you should be nervous about.
Yeah. And I don't remember what you said under your breath, but you certainly had a comment about that.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
very I love real.
That it's just that I had a comment and not what I said at all.
Oh, it was just something like real snarky about about how I wanted to like look good at my wedding, and you were like, "Good luck, bitch." That sort of vibe.
Where I'm going right now, if I could just sort of like conference in with mm-hmm. Dream Hannah, I think it would be along the lines of like. Then she can like show up and like make this promise to mm-hmm. her spouse for forever in like a much more honest and like true form, which is as a sleepy idiot.
And you know what? You're not wrong.
Yeah. And neither was Dream Me.
Neither. I don't know. Dream Hannah has historically done some pretty fucked up stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you have nightmares about Hannah?
No, every like nightmare I have, which happens anytime I'm asleep in a temperature above 70 degrees, pretty much, mm-hmm. I have dreams that everyone in my life has betrayed me. And so
I'm I'm sorry.
Like that's a big, I don't know.
Why do you think the temperature stressful. Does that?
Oh, that's science. That's real.
People, when mm-hmm. people are too hot when they sleep, they get really weird dreams.
Too hot and too cold. It's extreme temps. Yeah. But I'm an overheated American. So for me, it's when it's too hot.
Besides being expert in sleepy time, mm-hmm. what are you the expert in?
So I wrote a book called So You Want to Kill Your Kids. And it's sort of a broad exploration of family dynamics. I was inspired by the full shelf of books about sibling rivalry my dad had in his office when I was a child. To like sort of look at it from like what if you're the problem perspective.
I do have to say you and your siblings are quite close now as adults, so whatever happened ended up working out.
And that's sort of what the book is about, that like the best case scenario is that your kids gang up against you.
Yeah.
Like because listen, you're gonna die one day and then those kids are still gonna be around. You want them to be gang. So I wrote that book and got an email from Esther that indicated that she profoundly misunderstood it.
Uh-huh.
In like a To Kill a Mockingbird kind of way.
She thought it was a book about how to kill mockingbirds.
Yeah, she took it as a manual when you titled it in a sarcastic. I said,
so you want to kill your children? And she said, I do actually.
Mm-hmm. So you want to kill your children for dummies?
Yeah. For Esther's.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For Esther's.
Yeah.
Hannah. What are you the expert in?
Right. Okay. So I am deciding to come clean.
Okay.
Lately, I have been blackmailed by a colleague of mine.
Oh, no.
Her name is Dr. Meredith Fell. I am a forensic scientist. Mm-hmm. And one day she walked in and she caught me huffing some of the chemicals I use for serology tests. And so through that, she has been able to get quite a bit of information from the forensic science department in Mystic Falls, which, of course, every small town has.
Yes.
I have decided to come clean, tell my story.
Yeah.
Now that many people are dead, maybe that's more important than me getting high on the job.
Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a really brave decision to
thank
make.
You.
So thank you.
Thank you. Now, it has gone on for a long time.
How long?
Well, I'm not really sure because of
your
all
brain
the
is...
chemicals I've huffed, but I do know that she has gotten me to give her quite a bit of files into investigations and sort of like lab results of stabbings. And also I've, you know, she's had me like change some things.
Change some things.
Just change some deets on the official rec.
So these are the files she's getting. It's the local murders that have been being committed.
The local murders that have been being committed, absolutely. And then if anyone has ever wondered, like, oh, how did this sort of regular doctor get all this intel? It's me. That's me. And so I've decided to no longer be a tool of the oppressor.
Meredith. Good to hear.
Yeah. I mean, this is a real step in a positive direction, and we're so honored that you would choose our podcast to take it.
Thank you.
Quick cue.
Yeah.
Are you huffing the same serology chemical every time, or you just sort of huff it all until something hits?
No, I think you got it on the second one there.
Okay, okay.
There's a lot
a bit of a scattershot.
There's
approach.
A lot of sure. different chemicals, and of course I learned about what they all do in forensic science school.
Yeah.
But none of those lessons included what happens if I huff them. Mm-hmm. Yep. And so I'm a researcher, you know? I'm a scientist.
So you are in the fuck around portion of the scientific method. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fucking around and I'm finding out that I can be leveraged.
A little self-destructive.
Now, we open the episode with Stefan writing in his vampire journal.
Yes, and Elena too, right?
Well, Elena wakes up and is trying to call him, and he's not picking up.
Gross.
And then, again, we have that situation where Stefan's mommy, and he's saying no, so she goes to call Daddy, Daddy Damon, and...
So, yeah. Sorry, so I actually have to ask, the logic between which is mommy and which is daddy to you?
Oh, Stefan is mommy.
Why so?
I mean, like... He has mom energy.
I want that to be unpacked.
What? I have to disagree hard with that.
Morgan's truth can't technically be wrong if it's Morgan's truth.
Yeah.
So I want to know more about what mommy energy is.
What does that mean to you?
Like, I mean, if one has to be mom and one has to be dad.
Yeah.
Which, of course,
yeah, if we're being heteronormative.
Like, yeah, if we're being heteronormative.
When is this table not
constantly heteronormative?
Yes.
Stefan... Yeah. Brings the mommy energy of like, we gotta protect Elena. That's like,
so would you say everything at first one step?
But
yeah, can I argue if one of them were to show up 3 hours early to the airport, it would be Stefan. That's much more of a father energy.
Yeah,
but. Wait, Damon is dad because
for me, my mom is more likely to be the one that's early than my Greek stepdad.
Oh, see, my mom is late for everything. So this is
My mom would be early. Yeah, so no, like the dad energy from Damon is like I'm gonna protect Elena, but more in a roundabout way where like I kill a guy or like you know,
okay,
I'm not gonna show
I
my
agree
emotions.
That part is dad energy to be like, I'm gonna help you and pretend that I don't understand you have an emotional need. Here, like that tracks
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, if they got a cat, Damon would pretend not to like it.
Yeah,
and then
the cat would fall asleep on his chest every night.
Yeah,
I don't think Stefan has the unconditional love of a mother down.
No, but I mean,
no, but I think many mothers don't either.
What mother is perfect? Esther sure isn't.
So your argument is Stefan is an imperfect mom because sometimes he doesn't want Elena to die.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm drawing a parallel in the confines of what we've set up here.
I just think that when all you have is a mommy opening, you see everything as a mommy vibe.
What?
What's a mommy opening?
Okay, I'm sorry. This was supposed to be a square peg round hole bit.
Or when you have a hammer,
everything
looks
like a nail.
I was
trying to
mash them up.
Yeah,
but then you said the phrase mommy opening.
Yeah.
And I wish you hadn't.
Now I'm very grateful
Morgan,
for this.
Morgan, can I ask you if... it's possible that the truth of the matter is that Damon has mommy energy because in your mind, mommy is spelled with an I at the end.
I mean, in that regard, mommy and daddy are both genderless.
Yeah.
Sure. Of course. Sure. Of course.
So it could be either.
So, but you don't necessarily see Damon as a daddy. You see him as a mommy.
No, I think Morgan called Damon Stefan daddy.
Stefan was mommy.
Stefan's mommy.
Wait.
I think the I was implied.
I was arguing the opposite. If that one of them was a dad and one was a mom, I think Stefan would be the dad. And
I think Stefan would be the dad too. Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, but you're wrong. Morgan is more of a Damon season stan.
One.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Sorry.
Okay. I feel like Mormon. My good friend Mormon.
Oh my god.
I sort of mashed up Morgan and Ormond, yeah. And then I was like, oh no, it's Ormond doesn't get Ormond out of there. Get Ormond out of there. What's the last letter of Morgan's name?
So
and I landed on
this trail.
Mormon.
I'm sorry that Bridget roofied herself.
Yes. Same. This is an occasion where I sort of am like, wow, it's too bad we don't have a huge Patreon to post a video podcast to, because I can feel that I look like I'm dissociating.
Yeah. Your eyes only, but like you're not making a silly expression.
Yeah. I just keep, every time I try to remember a thought, I have to stare off into the distance.
Elena calls Daddy Damon. And
I don't co-sign that phrase.
She's like, we need to talk. You need to get over this, right?
I've nailed it down. I feel like mummy with an I is inherently implies a more mischievous archetype than Daddy,
which is more
Damon for me.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, mommy. I think Damon's more mischievous, yes. And thus he would be the mummy.
I feel like to me, Daddy is much more serious and straightforward,
right? Which is why Stefan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's less room for like a sense of humor.
Yeah, the like the mummy archetype. Like she's subverting some things and she knows it.
Yeah.
You know?
And like she
more Damon for
me. She's treating it more like a game.
Yeah.
Where the daddy is more like into the kayfabe of it.
Yes. Yes.
I want to say the thought I just had, but let's not try to answer it. It'll take too much time. But I just had the thought that like the word mommy with an I is inextricably linked to auto straddle for me.
Oh,
and I was like, which boy gives more auto straddle energy?
Ooh, Damon. I think Stefan would subscribe to auto straddle.
Stefan is giving me late in life lesbian.
No, literally. Okay. Yeah, Stefan is giving like a really like in stable, like butch lesbian.
Yeah.
Who's just like looking for a long-term committed relationship.
And Damon is just giving like
bisexual wine mom.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Two different kinds of mommies.
Look on your face with that. The only right energy to have.
Well, after last episode, Elena rejected Damon. She says, you need to get over it. And he goes, oh, I'm over it. And then the camera pans to Rebecca naked in his bed.
Yeah. And it's so
funny.
Damon, this episode was very funny to me because he was very much like, hey, Elena, I had sex with someone else and it wasn't about you at all because I'm over telling you I loved you 12 hours ago. It was just so...
It was giving me, like, my family used to watch Friends when it aired live, and I was not a Friends guy, so I would watch it with, like, a lot of derision.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Which no one appreciated, really. And so I think I've been thinking about when, like, Ross and Rachel, like, are on a break and he fucks someone else and there's the whole thing. But Rachel gets drunk and is like, I'm over you.
And she's like actively drunk from having feelings.
And Ross says a line along the lines of like, what do you mean you're over me? When were you under me? And that was the like the pure bumbling energy I was getting from Damon.
Yes,
in that first scene.
Just like, no, he is very much like spinning out.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I totally have control over this. I have control over me. I have control over my everything that I feel because look, I fucked that lady.
Oh my god. Do you know what it is? Do you know what it absolutely is? He's doing the same act he did from season one, but we as the audience have seen him cry his stage makeup off and then reapply it in the mirror.
Oh my god.
Huh. Yeah.
Oh my god. Wow. The visual. It's so strong. It's pitch perfect.
Thank you.
Oh my god.
We have seen him Annalise Keating take off his wig and like wipe off of his makeup. Ugh. Like
take off
and
the
now
lashes.
And so now everything he says, even though it's like the same kind of stuff he'd say in season one, it has like a completely different resonance this is a farce.
The
impact is totally different.
There's totally no man behind the curtain. But we just saw
who's desperately dancing to make everyone think he's like cool and aloof. I love it. I really like it.
And so Elena, not satisfied with being hung up on, because what she needed to talk about wasn't relationship stuff. It was Esther killing her children. So she goes to the house, and this is when Rebecca's leaving.
Yeah.
So they cross paths.
And I cannot overstate how much I believe that Rebecca got off in that moment.
Oh, yeah. She orgasmed.
Seeing Elena's face
when the door opened and Damon was shirtless and she was wearing the dress from the night before.
I don't want to imagine, like, she wasn't satisfied by Damon. And was like, now
and
I am.
Now.
And now. She was like, and that was fun, but this, this is what I needed.
So Elena comes in and is like telling Damon the rundown about the ritual. And she says, what happens to one of the Michelsons happens to all of them. Mm. To which Elle then said, so Damon had sex with all of them?
I mean, okay. Because think about it. Hold on. Later on in this episode, not to get too far ahead, but somebody gets stabbed and we see them all feel the feeling of getting stabbed.
Elle! I know the show doesn't draw that parallel, but you're right.
Like, where we penetrate one, we penetrate all.
Wow. Okay, because they really did, like, they did an extended cut of the last episode where it ended with her, like, really getting railed. Like,
she enjoyed that.
So was everyone else just at the ball, like, oh.
Yeah. Like, that was, because I at first wondered if
they were all when Harry met Sallying at the champagne toast.
Yeah, because
I'm sorry.
In the last episode, Esther was talking about, like, I will bond them all. Mm-hmm. And then Damon kind of punches Cole off a balcony.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, uh-oh, did he, like, pull the trigger too early? Mm. Like, is this going to mean something? No, it meant absolutely nothing. It meant literally nothing. It had no impact on anything. but then the spell
clicked in.
What's happening. Like, clicked, like, she did whatever she needed to do to make it, like, happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Damon railed Rebecca.
So interesting.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Interesting. Definitely an unintentional implication, but one that is so funny to me.
Next, Elijah finds the white sage from his mom's ritual. And he's, I mean, he's been suspicious already up to this point, but now he's like, a privacy spell?
Yeah. Interesting. What is she doing secret styles?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Feel free to ask.
Yeah.
White sage a closed?
It is.
Practice?
It is.
I know it's specific types of sage.
It's. I don't think it's that it's a closed practice. I do think actually some cultures would consider how they use it in as it being a part of something larger would be a closed practice. Right. But the thing with white sage is that it is unbelievably endangered.
Yes.
Yeah. And partially of the market for it currently.
Okay. Because I know there's a type of sage.
It's white sage. It's absolutely what she was using.
Yeah. Okay.
Is
Palo Santo the one you're supposed to use instead?
Palo Santo is one from it's something that you can use, but I actually don't know a ton on the origins of that practice.
I know there's a specific kind.
There's a different type of sage you can use.
Yeah, right.
It's like, I'm forgetting the name of it, but it's like, white sage has like pretty like velvety leaves even when it's dried, and this other sage is like a bit more brambly. There will be poachers who will go to like in places where they are like growing sage specifically, mm-hmm. like not to farm, like mm-hmm. growing it just for it to grow, where they will like come back and like it'll be totally barren because
someone has
to like sell on their Etsy or whatever,
or to like sell to someone who will pay for it because there's like no transparency in that supply chain. Transparency in that supply chain,
but like no, there isn't, and it's like
welcome to our corporate podcast.
And also for things that this is true of a lot of
things online
and then resell, like mm-hmm. there's really no telling.
Yeah, and I feel like with a lot of like spiritual practice stuff,
yeah, mm-hmm. it's
not like FDA regulated, so no one's checking.
No,
you
absolutely,
know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anyway, the general consensus is that if you want to be ethical, don't use white sage.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what happened in the third scene of the episode?
Elena and Bonnie are using Caroline to test a privacy spell.
Yes.
So like they're practicing the white sage spell. And I love this because they have Caroline like step outside and listen in on their conversation.
And they're kind of gossiping.
And she comes in every once in a while saying, I can still hear you.
And giving her input and being like, and clearly it's not working.
Wait, did it ever end up working? Or was that just like their, like what they were doing while they were communicating this
information?
I
think it was like the framing device.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I don't remember it actually ever working.
Nah, it was Bonnie yeah. practicing and Bonnie, yeah. not getting it.
Bonnie was talking about how Esther visited her and her mom, Abby, and how Esther was talking about she was drawing power from the entire Bennett witch line and that she needs Bonnie and Abby for this spell. I think the plan is not just to, like, kill Finn, but, like, to turn Finn human. It's so multi-step. Everyone is turned back to human, and then she kills
it's
Finn.
It's very, like, so how she says it is, like, I turn them into vampires, I can undo the spell.
I brought you into this world.
Exactly. It's the mom, which, like, gonna okay, take so you out.
If she can just turn them back to human, why not just stop there, though? Because then they're no longer monsters.
3,000 trimester abortion.
Yeah.
Talk about late term. Can she turn them back to human?
Yes, that's what the spell was.
That's the premise. Yeah. She's going to kill Finn once he's human.
Yeah.
And then they all die.
Okay, I did not super get that.
It was just it was like a line that okay. I think was yeah. easy to miss.
Which
I
was it doesn't make sense because
it's like weird and fucked up that she yeah. is able to draw on all of the Bennets all living of, and dead.
Yeah,
like what's that?
I guess because she's the original witch.
Yeah, but like it's just like what did,
she wasn't. She's not the original witch. Oh. She's.
A original?
Yeah, because
the witch she of worked, the originals.
She worked with Ayana so she, yeah. in the past. So Ayana was okay. the other witch yeah. that she was working with at the time. Uh-huh. And then now she's like, now that she's back from the dead, she can just like draw on all of their power for all time. Like all Bennett witches living and dead. Yeah.
I mean,
line.
I guess like how
as
the
long
show...
as a mother and daughter exist.
That feels arbitrary, I it gotta
does.
Say.
Yeah, I know.
It does. And it is pretty arbitrarily solved.
Yeah, yeah. In a way that at least like doesn't contradict anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. yeah, yeah. Although we did, this was the episode where we learned that you couldn't be a vampire and a witch at the same time.
Yeah,
which is interesting because you can be
a vampire and a werewolf.
You can be a werewolf, vampire and a werewolf at the same time. We don't know.
And
if
you can
be
a vampire and a doppelganger.
Vampelganger.
Right? No, because
oh yeah, you
because
can't.
Catherine turned herself into okay, a vampire to okay. no longer be used.
So she's okay. not considered a doppelganger.
Right, right, right. She's just okay. like just yeah. in the normal way that we would use.
It's like
it,
she,
where we're like,
she
you look
is,
like this.
Right, right.
Her blood is not magic. A doppelganger, but like yeah, like she can't be used in rituals anymore.
Okay, so you can't be a doppelganger and a vampire, or a witch and a vampire.
It's like a yeah. rock paper scissors thing.
Yeah.
Like vampire defeats witch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess they had to make that
wolf
whole...
defeats vampire.
Yeah.
And for there to be vampire werewolves.
Anything defeats wolf.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
the wasn't that part of the curse?
Yes.
Being
so
made?
Like
so...
a vampire werewolf combination can only happen under very specific circumstances.
Right, yeah.
And only after the curse on Klaus is broken. And so it can only happen through Klaus.
Yeah.
And basically, you have to be a werewolf already, mm-hmm. or at least in that lineage.
There's sort of like a long quest line you need to do.
Yeah.
yeah.
Right. To be able to multi-class.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You need to, yeah, do a big quest
yeah.
and find that one item that lets you multi-class.
Yeah. So, and since witch seems to be a bloodline and werewolf seems to be a bloodline,
yeah.
I feel like it would probably be very rare to be a werewitch, but not impossible.
Oh, that would be so sick.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
yeah,
mean,
because like, what if? Okay, well, Tyler is a hybrid now, so it wouldn't count. But if Bonnie and Tyler had a kid,
Bonnie Tyler.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Sorry, I think do I ship it now just based on the name?
Just yeah,
I might a little.
Yeah, I think
ship
if Bonnie
I mean,
and
I
Tyler.
Ship Bonnie with anybody but
Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think yeah. I think yeah. if Tyler was only a werewolf,
yes.
he and Bonnie could have a
yeah,
kid.
If they
would
had
be,
hooked up before he got hybrided.
Yeah.
He got sired.
They would be able to have a kid then.
And then
that would be witch
and if
and
it
werewolf.
Because we've only seen girl witches.
Mm. Yeah.
So if it
no,
was,
there
was
no,
some
no,
man witches.
We've seen
oh,
but
yeah.
they're called warlocks.
Oh my god.
So
right.
I the
that
dad
right.
and
I got
the,
so that's
yeah,
right.
yeah.
I forgot how
Luca
got.
And
yes, okay, I forgot. Okay, so regardless
you it out.
Jonas.
Regardless,
yes. yeah.
Bonnie and Tyler's kid could be born a witch and then kill someone and turn into a werewolf.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be so uh-huh. fucking sick. Where's the fanfic that'd be sick?
Yeah. And then if that kid was turned into a vampire, they would lose connection to that witch side and just be a hybrid.
Okay.
Where have all the good wolves gone? Oh. And
where are all the vampires?
I need a werewolf. Ow! Yeah.
It's just like a mashup with the Monster Mash.
Yeah.
Elijah shows up at Elena's house yeah. and invites her out. says, I need to show you something.
And Elena just goes.
They
I said last episode she loves a second location. She does. And this is proof.
She does. She's too curious not to go with.
And if I was her, I'd be like, show me a picture.
Show me a picture. We find out that Elijah and all the kids will be dead by the end of the night because Esther has to harness the power of the full moon, a celestial event, to do this spell.
Girls' night.
Also harnessing the power of Bonnie and Abby and their
Bennett line. Yeah, she's like, I need y'all to congregate with me under the full moon to have a girls' night where we do a ritual.
Yes. And Elijah knows that if they cut off the bloodline, then the spell won't work. So he ends up kidnapping Elena and putting her in a cave hole.
Yeah. Okay. The way he does so good. So he takes her to the middle of nowhere in the woods. He's like, you built your town over an old Native American town. And we were all like, but then he pushed on and said, and around here is the cave system I used to play in as a lad. Anyway, why'd you lie to me at the party, Elena?
I was so good.
And Elena said, what do you mean? And he said, when you said my mom wasn't planning anything, your heartbeat jumped. So I know my mom's...
I can hear your heartbeat, Elena, and that tells me when you're lying to me.
Yeah, he's a human lie detector. And then speaking of jumping, he jumps so that he hits the ground really hard and causes the earth under Elena's feet to collapse so that she falls into a cave. It is so cartoonish.
It's so amazing.
I loved it.
It was giving live action Scooby-Doo to me.
Yes.
It was giving Wile E. Coyote with a big oversized
saw
kind of sawing a circle in the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Elena hovers in the air for a second and holds up a sign that says, oh no.
The purpose of putting Elena in a cave hole is so that... he has Rebecca, like, holding her hostage.
Yeah, Rebecca, like, walks out of the darkness, and she's like, surprise, bitch.
Yeah. Surprise. Drive much?
You thought you'd seen the last of me? Yeah,
drive Fallen much. Holes much?
Fallen holes much? Get held hostage much?
Yeah. All the time, actually. And then Elijah is basically blackmailing the Salvatore brothers into dealing with the Bennett witches for Elena's life.
Yeah, Elijah goes up to Stefan and Damon and says, hey, I've got Elena. Stop my mom from killing all of us or I will kill her.
And that works.
Yeah, that works. And honestly, again, this is back to Elijah being the only person with two brain cells.
Yeah, and actually just getting this stuff done.
Like, an effective plan executed quickly under time pressure.
And
then
he also sent a thank you note.
He did to Elena at the end, and this is jumping ahead to the end of the episode, but after, I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say, Elena doesn't die this episode.
believe it or not. The show must
Less
go on.
Less than halfway through the run of the show, the main
like,
character doesn't
die. What if she
die.
Did die, though, and then like the series just switched to be about Catherine's POV?
That would be fun. Would be so- I can't lie that or that would
Caroline.
Be fun.
Let's just make Caroline the main
character. I'm just thinking about how to keep... Nina Dobrev cast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm sure she's not going to be like, no, I'll drop from
Wait,
being the lead.
What if Caroline and Catherine had a spinoff and they took Miami?
Yes! But later on, after she's out of being held hostage, Elijah does send Elena a thank you note that's like, I really admire you. Just like a thoughtful handwritten note to kind of make up for the fact that he kidnapped her. Which, you know, that's that old world gentlemanly manners that we all love.
That old world charm.
He said something along the lines of like, you exhibit value. You exhibit traits I valued before I was turned into a vampire or something.
Compassion.
And I bit of a reach, but I did like that he sent a thank you note, and I did like that he was like, damn, we maybe shouldn't exist.
Yeah, I know that it would have been like campy and stupid. It would have been really funny if he also sent like a fruit basket with it.
Yes. Muffin basket.
A muffin basket.
I would love that, actually.
Just a nice Beaujolais.
Oh my god, absolutely.
I would really love like those big juicy pears people send.
Yeah.
Or the, like individual.
Like the Harry and David, fancy pears.
Very
the
irresponsible individual packaging.
An edible arrangement.
Yes.
So, you know, he could have stepped it up, but he did better than everyone else who's ever held her hostage in terms of apologizing.
Yeah.
So,
Damon never has.
Yeah, including Stefan and Damon. But while she is still in the cave, Stefan and Damon agree to help one another. I think, let me know if I'm skipping too far ahead, but in the car, they have a conversation where they're like, Esther is drawing her power from Bonnie and her mom's connection. So we've got to break that connection to stop the spell. So we've got to do something a little messed up, implied to be like killing one of them.
Yeah. So, and obviously they're not going to kill Bonnie or else Elena would be super mad. Yeah,
the mom is kind of like the clear one to kill there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, she's new in town.
She's new in town. I mean, she's like, you know, I feel like if you have to choose between killing a mother and also, a daughter, like, you'd kill the
any
mom.
Any time. Wow.
Well, yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
I agree with that.
Anytime kind of just like a grown woman is introduced in the show, she's going to die.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's that's die. True.
Only girls can be teenagers.
Yeah. You're either a vampire and a girl forever or a teen girl or you die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, you know, women have sort of an expiration date. When they turn 30.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Are the only moms in the town...
Mayor and the sheriff?
See, but they're only parents of...
Yeah, the mayor teenage girl complex.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a doctor who's an adult woman now, but
This feels like when a company is like, our CEO is a woman, and you're like, okay, but you have 80% men working.
Literally.
Oh, like, my God. We hired a lady mayor, and we have a lady sheriff. That's two elections, won by ladies.
Or they're like, 50% of our company is women, but it's like all the secretaries.
Yeah.
It's all support
There's
staff.
Like two secretaries for every CEO.
Executive. They're like admin,
So Damon is like, you know, we got to do a pretty messed up thing, but only one of us technically has to do it. Elena only has to hate one of us. Let's flip a coin. And they like flip the coin and we the audience don't see the
because answer. Also what's between the lines there is okay, so we both like her so much.
Yeah, and we both don't want her to be mad.
Yeah,
mad,
but she has to be mad at one of us. So we have to decide.
So the only fair way.
Yeah.
Very sibling. Very like in a show where we don't see that much normal sibling bullshit, like I feel like we
flipping
don't...
a coin to make a decision. Right.
Right. Oh my God. So speaking of normal sibling bullshit, we did get a little slice of that with the originals, which I did love.
Yeah.
It was
oh my God. Yes. When she comes back in from her window.
Yeah. Stand. Cole is like, wow, our sister's a strumpet. But like, not being too mad about it. And he's like, come on, bro. Like, go out, drink with me. Let's like chill and have fun. And like, Klaus is like, oh, whatever. You're so immature, but fine. It was just like very
good. Yeah. And everyone's
good.
Just like dunking on Rebecca.
Yeah.
For getting
it was oh my God, it was so like the one sister in the family.
Oh yeah,
extremely that, but like it was
and
very
the youngest, right?
Shithead siblings.
Oh yeah,
I think Cole is
younger than Rebecca.
Yeah, because I will say that family dynamic very very closely reflecting the family dynamic of my spouse, who is two older brothers and a younger sister.
Oh my God.
And my family's two older sisters and a younger brother. So in my family it's like, oh my God, I love you so much, I miss you, can't wait to see you. And in my spouse's family it's like, okay, well fuck you, see you next Christmas. Like it just the vibe is totally different, and they will like make fun of my partner and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing XYZ. And then I'll also be there and they'll be like, but it's fine that you're doing it. Like that was, I was watching the scene and being like,
when the boys were allowed to set the tone for too long.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was in this episode that we were talking about how like Rebecca's life would have been so different if one of them, if she had one other sister.
Yeah.
If she had one sister.
More of a natural ally.
And then I don't remember who said it, but someone was like, I bet Esther calls herself a boy mom.
I did. And
it was you. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yes, multiple of those lads
hashtag
call her mother.
Boy mom.
She's a hashtag boy mom.
And then Finn is like just a known mommy's boy. Like everyone
openly
knows. Like all of the siblings are like, oh, Finn. You got Finn to do what you wanted, mom?
Yeah.
Wow, brave.
There is a lad who calls her mother, and he's not the biggest mommy's boy in the family. Yeah. That's the level we're at from the siblings razzing each other thing. At one point, Rebecca goes like, oh, there's too many men rolling around in this house. And then Cole is like, yeah, just like you. Hey-oh. And that's what they leave on.
It was, I don't remember what the exact line was, but I remember being like, after
a bunch of
flaccid attempts to rib her, like, there was some line along the lines of like, well, you got a bunch of men rolling around in you, huh? And I was like, damn. Get
also,
her.
Wait. She hasn't been laid since the 1920s.
I know.
The fuck are they on about?
I know. They haven't been laid since the 1600s.
Yeah,
that's
her
true.
Streak is much
so
shorter
they're just
than
jealous.
Theirs.
Yeah, they're just jealous.
Yeah. Other than flipping a coin to see who kills Bonnie's mom, Damon also calls his boyfriend Alaric to rope him into a plan to stab Cole while
Alaric's
at the bar.
In this episode.
They send in Caroline into an Ocean's 11 style, like, get Klaus out of the bar mission.
Use your wiles to get Klaus away from Cole.
Yeah.
She goes up to Klaus and says, I don't want to talk to you. Don't follow me. And then leaves.
Yeah, she's and that, so fucking smart. So fucking smart.
And
she
that
doesn't
completely works to get oh him to follow her. Which, like, oh she, my God.
All she has to do is, like, hate on him and he loves it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she saw him and was like, oh, this was in my psychology textbook as a reverse psychology situation. Like,
yeah.
I took AP Psych this year.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's fresh because she just took the AP Psych exam. Yeah. Probably got like a 4 on it.
Yeah.
Maybe
they
a 5.
Didn't have AP Psych in the 1920s.
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't know Psych. So it can be used on him.
He doesn't know about Freud, which is why he keeps acting like that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Mother.
I hate our daddy.
Die, daddy.
I want daddy to die.
Mother.
The plan kind of works where Alaric is able to stab Cole and suddenly all the siblings start desiccating together.
Yes.
But it's short-lived because Klaus is like on it and takes the dagger out of Cole almost immediately. But it's enough time for Elena to run away from Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They do a little chase. She ends up in the cave room where vampires can't go.
And she dramatically delivers the line, sorry, no vampires allowed.
No vampires allowed.
Yeah, I love that.
But later, Drive Rebecca lunch. Comes back with a big can of gasoline, which is like very much in the family of like Klaus level mm-hmm. petty.
So dramatic.
And tries to light her on fire.
Yeah, just like she can't go through the doorway. There is an invisible force field. So what she does is she grabs gasoline and chucks it through.
Yeah, is glugging like, it onto Elena and the cave.
Yeah, because... Oh my God, it's so good.
And then has matches and she's lighting them and tossing them in.
She deserves fun.
And yeah, she does. And Elena's like, cut it out.
I know I hurt your feelings. You're just doing this because I hurt your feelings.
You're mad that I stabbed you in the back. And literally. She's like, yeah, you know what? I am.
Now you're getting it.
Elena basically negs her into... Elena's like, you don't want to kill me like this. You want to watch me suffer for a lot longer.
Yeah, because you're like obsessed with me. You're so mad.
I do.
Yeah. She doesn't know about psychology either.
Oh, no. Mm.
But the fact that they all desiccated and then came back, I think it led them to the witch house.
Yeah,
I think it was a hunch on Klaus's part.
It makes Klaus realize like, oh, something is up because he... So Caroline has lured him out of the building... And he does this very, like, I don't know, British guy in a rom-com act at her where he's like, give me the chance to win you over. I'll just vary that.
It's so weird.
It's, Yeah, I can't remember most of that scene, but it's a lot of, like, what he clearly thinks is back and forth, even though she's not really giving him anything. Yeah.
Oh, no, that's why he's loving it.
That's why he's, that actually does make sense.
She's like, leave me alone. And he's like, ha.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
That was such a fun noise.
But then he feels himself getting like ghost stabbed and he's like, what did you do? And she's like, nothing.
Ghost
Which
stab.
Makes me genuinely wonder if she like knew the full plan or if they were just like distracting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unclear, but so he kind of runs over, figures out what goes on. He and Elijah meet up and they kind of scoop Cole. And I think they're like, okay, Stefan and Damon, tell us like where the witches are right now or we will kill Elena. And they're like, fine.
Yeah. So everyone basically congregates at the witch house and they do a little showdown, right? Like Klaus, Elijah, and Cole show up at the ritual and confront their mom. And the mom, Esther, delivers a line. She says, you're all cursed on this earth. You're a curse on this earth. Stretch over generations.
Yeah, baller line.
And talks about how she
also like such a dig. It's like it's like she's called her own children son of a bitch.
Yeah. And she was on the other side for thousands of years, every like victim and like all the bloodshed.
Yeah, she was kind of watching over them that whole time.
Yeah, like
ghost styles.
And just like a lot of guilt. And she even looks at Elijah and she's like, you two, you're not above this.
Yeah, you've been murdering as well.
Yeah.
That was interesting to learn that like she, the person who created vampires, did not intend for them to survive on human blood.
Yes.
Which like, what was the, oh, because she was like,
unintended.
At first they were eating animals, but then they realized human blood was yum yum tasty.
Yeah. She didn't realize that would be the consequence.
Which like it just was a really interesting lens you to know? Be like, oh wow. So this entire thing that we thought was like innate to vampirism.
Yeah, it was kind of
a
whoopsie doodle. Yeah.
Well, it's an unintended consequence of it's basically nature punishing them. So vampirism in this world is a magical curse.
But unrelated to anything involving
Can I say, Moonstone. So I recently went on like a little, I'm still in the middle of it, but I'm reading The Vampire by John Polidori, which people think is like maybe the first official vampire story. And there's like a poem at the beginning of it that I think is original about like, about like how vampirism is a curse to like, you know, you can't die, you'll like go back to your loved ones and suck their blood. And it just made me think about how like I as a modern person have not appreciated how a past person would think of being a vampire as a curse, because people in the past genuinely believed in an afterlife. So having to stay on the planet forever and never go to
never
the
get
afterlife,
your eternal
that
reward.
Actually is like a horrifying curse.
Yeah, yeah. And again, like we keep talking about this, but it is really wild how no one in this show, like, cares
how that
about
is like,
their afterlife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's like confirmed that there is one.
There
yeah.
is one, and there's a worse one for supernatural.
Like
things.
That's really bad. That's a terrifying curse.
And they just keep, but it's really it's really interesting because like. Here these days most of us unless like you are firmly within a religion
for
which
sure
a lot of people are
yeah, but there's like a lot more
I
like,
guess our,
there's
like,
also faith without religion
bubble.
Like there's a lot of there's like our like bubble of people where we tend to sort of we don't really think about the afterlife
certainly
we do not think of
people
too much about life
more
after
people
death.
Don't think about the afterlife now than have ever
we
not
don't
thought
make
about it
choices
prayer.
On this earth based on that
yeah
right so it makes sense that then like similarly they're like oh okay like sure I guess I got a little more info but like I'm gonna keep on like keep operating
right.
on my normal stuff but they have more information and I want it to matter
right but like that's so heavy and existential I think the show is
well,
just like
I,
not interested in
I guess for
with
them
it.
They have more of like a in this circumstance, right, like, we're not supernatural, but we're all queer, right?
Okay.
So then, like, okay, well, what do heaven and hell mean there?
Yeah.
You know? So,
but it's like, that's like, why the vampire is, like, a compelling queer thing where it's like, oh, you're shut out of heaven by nature of what you are.
Right.
But it's kind of like learning that us as queer people, like, there is a real purgatory where we will go.
And it's worse.
But then
I guess I also, like, wouldn't stop being gay. Like, that's
Right. I mean, well, you can't. It's relentless.
So it's kind of like, well, what can we do?
I guess we have just found out there's a spell to stop being a vampire.
Only from this one person.
Only for only for
I mean, but
only for five people.
Okay. Why only for five though?
I don't know. Like,
I assume it's tied to their specific like bloodline origin story.
Because she made them vampires by magic.
Yeah. Right.
It would be So okay. So,
but I assume if you were sired traditionally, like maybe your sire could do something.
These five people are the sires of like
everyone.
Like whether or not they have the weird sire bond thing that only Tyler has. Like these five people are the roots of all vampires on Earth. Because we know that the papa maybe he like made a couple at some point, but like largely
not that we
stuck
know
to
of.
Eating vampires.
So
like they're if they're death or devampiredness affected their downline. That would undo everything. That would undo all vamps. That seems like it would be pretty productive.
That's a pretty fun theory.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Interesting.
What did you say? Oh, the dad eating only vampires.
Yeah.
Feels like the survivalist advice where they're like, listen, if you got to filter your own piss and drink it, that's good.
No,
like,
no.
Sorry, this is you're not getting the top tier quality anymore. You're getting a like slightly D.
He's gonna get rabbit starvation.
What's that painting of the guy eating his son?
Oh, Saturn eating.
Yeah.
I think Saturn devouring his son.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
Sorry, I just love that parallel.
So we do cut to Bonnie and Abby are like in the house, the Hundred Dead Witches house. And Stefan and Damon show up, and we learn that Stefan had lost the coin toss, but Damon steps in and ends up turning Abby into a vampire.
Yeah, which I didn't think of as a loophole, but it was a loophole. to not having to kill Bonnie's mom.
Yeah. It's kind of like you don't think of it at first, but and then it hits you. And it's like, oh, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like,
because the implication
they
of
they don't want to make Elena super mad by having like making Bonnie
killing
sad.
Your best friend's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of do, but like there's yeah. a fine line of like, all right, you could have gone all the way.
But, you know, you did sort of a half.
It's
half
also
seas.
I mean, like, it's not clear. Like, she could end up feeling similarly to Caroline's dad where he would rather die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's very little choice that you get
yeah.
in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think Bonnie's mom is long for this world.
Oh, no, no, no.
And then, sorry, wait. So Bonnie knows that when a vampire dies, they're condemned to purgatory forever. So they have actually given Bonnie's mother a fate worse than death.
She was already gonna have it because she was a witch.
Oh yeah. Okay.
No,
good point.
Yeah, I guess
good point.
So wait, hold on our darn toot in second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I need to unpack some more. I need to unpack some logistics here. So
yeah.
The implication, and I could be wrong, is that so witches are like connected to the natural world. And vampires are, like, disconnected from the natural world. So mm-hmm. I assumed that the reason that a witch couldn't be a vampire is that their natures are so different that, like, when you turn into a vampire as a witch, your connection to the natural world is severed.
Yes.
Correct. But vampires are stuck in purgatory because they're disconnected from the natural world. But if witches are so connected to nature, why are they in purgatory?
Yeah. Is it a purgatory... Death. Just for vampires specifically because they're unnatural, or is it a purgatory for all supernatural people?
I think it is, but then is it a purgatory for all supernatural people because they are diverting from the natural order?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the word supernatural literally means superseding the natural order. So if witches are deeply connected to the natural order, why are
or
they?
Or is it like nature's like we need to have someone in the wrong space to keep everything right.
Mm. Yeah. These are very good questions and ones that will be answered,
okay.
So I'm not going
to
answer them
for
you.
Okay. Cool. That's great to hear.
Yeah, love that.
But
love that.
Answered in so a way rare. That like you could so definitely tell that like the writers made it up for that season.
Mm. Cool.
Sure,
cool.
Sure, 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 sure.
All right. Well, so. Whatever. I'll have a good time anyway.
The moonstone is fake.
Ah, yeah, it's soap.
Later, Elena shows up at, I think Bonnie's at Caroline's house. Abby is transitioning.
They say it every time.
And Caroline keeps Elena out, mm-hmm. saying that she shouldn't be around Bonnie, mm-hmm. because Bonnie, even though Bonnie loves her, Elena's also the reason why Bonnie loses people.
Yeah. Caroline's,
she gets hurt.
Karen's like, yeah, the vibe's going to be really weird if you show up. Just FYI. Yeah.
And while it might just be weird in the moment, because, you know, a lot of things are out of Elena's control, not mm-hmm. her fault. And also, you know, she's lost a lot of people too. Mm-hmm. We kind of talked about that. But like, I'm just kind of happy that someone in the writer's room put that in the show to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Bonnie has taken a lot for the team.
Keep fucking coming for Bonnie.
Yeah.
And I do think there is not enough in this show acknowledgement that, like, just because Elena's intent was good doesn't mean mm-hmm. that she's not impacting people. Like, this mm-hmm. show just spends so much time. And I'm sure it's because the teen viewer, like, in theory, Elena is their, like, analog in the show.
The surrogate.
So they're spending a lot of time like being like, Elena is not a bad person, mm-hmm. so that you still feel connected to her. But it's at the expense of like, okay, well, let's talk about like what's her responsibility here.
Yeah. And oh man, Elena's always trying to, like, we know that Elena's always trying to make the good decision. Like Elena's always trying to make the right decision and work with what she's got. And very often it ends up being like so short-sighted. Like, she is only ever engaging with like what is right in front of her and being like, well, I guess I'm forced to do this, when it's like, can you like take a fucking beat? Like, take a step back and I don't know, maybe question your involvement in a lot of things.
Yeah, question the premise of your logic.
Yes.
And then Damon and Stefan have a moment together where Stefan's like, you didn't have to step in. I lost the coin toss.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Damon faked the coin toss so that he would be the one that had to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And Vampire Bonnie's mom.
And Damon said that he he's been noticing that Stefan hasn't been drinking any blood. He's like, when did this start happening? And Stefan was like, ever since I pretended to drive Elena off the Wickery Bridge.
Yeah, the implication being Stefan was like, I hit rock bottom. This was my rock bottom for this time. I'm ready to bounce back.
Yes.
And you know what? Fair. That is a rock bottom.
That, yeah. It was bad. It was pretty bad.
Damon was like, it's for the best. I'm better at being the bad guy anyway. And I'm like, my
God. While we were watching that scene, I was thinking of the, what is it? Pagliacci.
Oh. Whoa, oh, yeah. But doctor.
I am Pagliacci. Yeah.
But doctor, I am the bad guy.
Yeah. Damon is a sad clown.
Yeah. Man, I feel so bad for this show that they had to make it before that song was written.
They would have, oh my God, eaten
it
that.
It would have been theme song.
Speaking of songs, Pals, they started this show with Poison and Wine. By the Civil Wars, and I was like, okay, I'm 19.
Oh my God, that's why I thought that. I was like, wow, this sounds like Christian music. And because the Civil Wars are actually like,
are they Christian? They're,
before they were the Civil Wars, they did Christian music.
That tracks hard. Yeah. When I used to work in theater and opera, there was one opera program I was stage managed for, and they make their students take mask classes because it makes you better at being expressive when you can't use your facial expression because you're singing.
I love that.
That's cool.
And they have the creepiest fucking masks because they're supposed to be neutral.
That's incredible.
So it's just like a white molded face. There's like no color on the eyes or nose or anything. It's just like a blank face.
That sounds horrifying. Shit.
And so I would walk in on Thursday. They had this class right before rehearsal, and I would walk in and start setting up, and they just all have these masks on. And every time I was like, I have to go.
Fair. Yeah. The Jabberwocky is just emoting. Yeah.
Oh my God.
We end the episode with. Elijah kind of having a moment where he was like, Mom was right about me. I wielded my sister like a sword.
He did say that.
Such a
drama queen.
Mom made us vampires, but she didn't make us monsters.
That was a good one.
We did that ourselves.
Yeah.
And then they realized that the video Rebecca took, it was like a torture video of her victim Elena in the cave. There was like drawings on the cave behind her, and you could see like Klaus said enhance, and they found out that the white oak tree must have had a sapling or something. Yeah. So like there's still something out there that
could
kill him.
Could you explain his exact logic?
So Rebecca was like, look, the natives had, literally that's what she kept saying over and over.
She did.
Which was, I guess, a step up from Elijah saying the Indians at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're not crushing it.
No.
So Rebecca is saying over and over.
And why start now?
And why start now? They're already so old. Rebecca said.
I meant Julie Pluck.
Yeah, they're just, they're just from a different time.
Julie Pluck or vampires?
Rebecca said. The natives have this like picture of them. They like have this like drawing on the cave wall of them worshiping a big oak. And Klaus is like, yes, the white oak tree that
burned it down.
That it has the wood that can stake us and actually kill us. And we burned it down. And she was like, okay, but look what was right next to it. Boom. It's a drawing of the natives' calendar. And he's like, oh, it can't be, because it meant that it was 300 years after they burnt the white oak down.
Oh no.
So basically what they want us to believe is that these cave drawings function similarly to a photograph with someone holding a newspaper.
Yeah. Like saying like this was the date
the date of this photo.
Here's the day that we worshipped this vague drawing of a tree.
Yes. And then also, I don't know if you guys saw this, but the picture of the drawing of the calendar was like pretty much just like a
spiral.
That
imparted no information.
It
looked like the 2012 Aztec.
That's what I was going to say. Calendar. It looks like, I think it's appropriative of like, but
which
also the really fact that they were like, surely no one could have added this date later. Like definitely these drawings were made at the same time. And I could tell from the enhanced zoom in of the photo, and I do not need to go expect them in person.
Yeah, and it's, man, just like the insulting of the audience's intelligence.
Yeah.
The twist, or like the cliffhanger we end with is Alaric finding all these like murder files.
Yeah, okay, so can I just rewind in Dr. Fell's apartment for one quick second? So goes to her apartment earlier in the episode and comments, wow, it's really messy here. It's A, not that messy. B, this is Rich coming from a man whose apartment is strewn with empty liquor bottles. But yeah. Go off, King.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, I'm busy being a fucking doctor.
Yeah, what's your excuse? I think it's summer. I don't think class is even in session right now.
His excuse is sad.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we all been there, but like, I don't throw a stone when you look at my house. You know,
I don't throw a stone since my messy house is made of glass.
Exactly. He is like up in the middle of the night in her house and finds a bunch of murder files and a knife, like you said. And then he turns around.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he turns around and she says, you weren't supposed to see that. And then there's a gun and you hear a bang. Yeah. And that's how the episode ends.
What you say?
Literally. Okay, and again. And then Jeremy walks in and you hear another bang. Not really, I'm kidding.
What you say? Again, I'm really sorry that I let her do a bunch of stuff with evidence.
Yeah, if she asked you to doctor the evidence from the Alaric getting shot in her house crime scene, would you, or are you breaking off?
This is me trying to avoid that because by coming on this podcast and saying that, yes, I have and present tense do get high on the job.
Sure. She has nothing on you.
She has nothing on me.
Now, see, are you worried about her coming after you since you've sort of revealed some of her scheming?
Wait, would she?
I mean, she shot her boyfriend and, you know, you're not even dating her.
Okay, I fucked this up.
Well, I mean, we can do what we can in the edit.
But. Okay, we gotta wrap this up so that I can drive back to work and try to, like, I don't know, leave a bunch of notes that point to her as my killer.
Okay, cool, fair.
Just start sending some emails.
I'll just start sending some emails.
Okay. Just close down Merge Paper Dragons and start sending some emails.
How many dragons have you merged?
There's no way to know.
That's perfect. And this has been episode 15 of the Vampire Journals, season 3 of the Vampire Diaries. All my children, all of Esther's children, still alive. Still linked.
Yeah, they thwart her. Is she still alive?
Esther?
Yeah.
Okay. They have not yet thwarted.
Yeah. Okay.
Like her, for real.
Gotcha.
King fame, king shame.
I'm gonna kink shame. And the reason I jumped in so quick is so rare is it that I get to genuinely kink shame someone. I'm gonna kink shame Rebecca for getting so horny about how sad she made Elena. And I'm gonna kink fame Caroline for leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
And an impeccable application of her AP psychology
content. 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll kink shame Klaus for continually chasing down Caroline. Leave her alone. She's much cooler than you.
Believe women when they say
go. To you. Yeah. This is not the chase or whatever. Leave her alone. And then I'll kink fame Elijah. I like him.
Yeah.
He was the smartest one in the episode. That's my boy. And usually
Marge Simpson holding the potato.
I just think he's neat. I'll kink fame myself for having an Elijah kink.
I will kink shame Damon. No, I'll kink fame Damon for acting out and being immature. But in a way,
there's a fine line between shame and fame.
Right on the
cusp. It's like how hate and love are so close.
Two sides at one point. Kiss or kill, you know.
Kiss or kill. Yeah, yeah. I'll kink shame. No, I'll kink fame him for that.
Wow.
But know that it's so close to a shame. Yeah. But
he's on notice.
Yeah, he really brought a drama to the room that I appreciated and that I had honestly kind of missed. So for being back on his bullshit, I will kink shame Alaric for going through people's medical files and for also being really obtuse and not being able to tell that his girlfriend was clearly up to something.
Yeah.
Basically, I'll kink shame him for having an evil woman kink.
Let's kink shame him for getting shot.
I'll kink shame him for getting shot, actually. Evil woman kink is valid.
Getting shot isn't?
Anyway, not for him.
I'm going to kink fame Stefan for he seems to be trying to get back on that horse. And he's the not drinking. Caroline was hanging out with. Yeah, not drinking. Oh my human God, blood.
Is drawing another little picture of her. Yes, this episode. I wish they showed it to us.
He's hit rock bottom, and now he's making an attempt.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So sorry, we're kink faming Stefan for hitting rock bottom.
We're kink faming him
for his. I know. I just felt like I had to.
Okay.
I felt like I had to hold a mirror up to Morgan. Yes. For their final thought, which was,
you hold a mirror up to me, and I go, I kink fame myself for hitting rock bottom.
No, I did that.
Stefan, and then I'm gonna kink shame Cole for slut shaming his sister.
Oh, that's a good one.
Good one.
Yeah.
A little brat.
Yeah.
Jealous.
Let's plug. Truly.
He would have loved to have gotten railed by Damon.
He would have loved it. I'd like to start off
sorted him out
by plugging taking the correct medicine at the correct time.
Which one of you guys plugged last episode? You plugged the pill containers.
You did. Shane.
No, Shane plugged the pill containers that are separated into day and night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, and then also Shane talked about that time that they took Ponyo's seizure medication.
Okay, so actually I'm not at rock bottom, I'm nailing it.
I think that they stayed conscious for the day.
Similar vibe though.
And they didn't have a seizure, as they said.
Ah, good point.
Yeah, but the only pills you've taken today were made for humans.
They didn't have a dog seizure.
Yeah, they were made for human people and prescribed to me personally. So yes, there's that to consider. So yeah, definitely want to plug that, taking your medication as prescribed.
Cosign.
And then relatedly, to needing to take my medication as subscribed, I own a small business called Galaxy Brain Design, which lives and dies by my ADHD medicine, which I think is the only reason I'm still standing, is that I also took my ADHD medicine.
A speedball, truly.
Like, almost. It's like I got too scared to do a speedball, and I was like, okay, what if I take both my meds at the same time?
How can I DIY?
Right, this? Yeah.
You took a screenshot of your brain, essentially.
That's it. That was honestly sort of the lived experience I was having. I was like, wow, there's like stuff happening here and none of it's any of my business. These people are laughing at jokes that I didn't hear. And then suddenly Hannah was being like, Bridget, you can fall asleep, but you can't snore. And I went to take a nap.
You can fall asleep, but you can't stay here.
Anyway, my business is called Galaxy Brain Design, and we sell stickers and prints and shit.
Yes.
Spooky season's about to blow up. So
hell yeah.
Visit us on any social media at Galaxy Brain Design or at galaxybraindesign.com.
Read The Vampire by John Polidori. I haven't actually finished it yet, but it's historical. Or just read his Wikipedia article.
Mm. Oh, I can say I just finished book 9 of The Expanse.
Ooh.
And I'm enjoying that. If you are specifically, I think the audiobook is really great. I'm enjoying that. I love in really long series, like either a book series or TV series or whatever, hearing people get better at their craft.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I love it. It's
the coolest.
I love hearing skills be sharpened.
Yeah. I love that when I like binge a podcast.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they got new equipment right here.
Yeah.
I wish.
You get to listen to old episodes.
For
and be
our
like,
listeners,
wow,
do you guys
so
think we've gotten better at this?
Don't answer that.
Please. Maybe. Only answer if the answer is yes.
Yes. And then rate 5 stars.
We'll take your silence as indication that we have some inner work to do.
If you don't think that we've gotten better, do not tell us.
Yeah.
Or do, because it would be funny.
Listen, DM somebody. I don't want to know.
Yeah, don't tell anyone but us.
Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself.
And us.
Keep a lid on it.
And that's it.
Thanks so much for listening to The Vampire Journals. To support us, you can subscribe, share, and visit our website, journalspodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at journalspodcast. Goodbye.